Sometimes we need to just cut through the religious ideas of getting it all right, you know, saying it all right and doing it all right, and just say, Daddy, I'm in trouble, I need help, or Daddy, I need this, or show me what to do. Come as children. I will meet you where you're at, says the Lord. Sometimes you think you have to be so strong all the time. Sometimes you feel like you have to get it right all the time. Sometimes you feel like if you don't get it right, I won't come through for you. But you can come as a child who doesn't know what to do. You can come as a child and say, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do, Lord, but I know that you do, and I will come running, says the Lord. I will come running to my children. I'm not looking for people who know everything. I'm looking for people with hearts that love me and that believe I can do anything, just like a child believes their father can do anything. Little children believe their daddy can do everything, that everything he says is right. My daddy said so. That's how kids are. My daddy said so. And I feel like the Lord is saying, it pleases me. It pleases me when you just say, you know, I don't get it, but I know my daddy says so. I don't get why, I just know he said so. And that's enough for me. He said he's going to take care of me. That's enough for me. He said he's going to heal me. That's enough for me. He said he's going to clothe me and take care of me. That's enough for me. That's the heart God is after. You know, sometimes as Christians, we try to, you know, people try to be so together. But really, sometimes it's great to let it. I had a man give me a word from the Lord one time, and I didn't think it was from the Lord. I didn't believe it was from God. I thought he was nuts. He gave me this word. He said, the Lord said to tell you to let everything fall apart. And I thought, let everything fall apart? That's the dumbest word I ever heard. But after a couple of days, things in my life suddenly turned awful. There were trials on every side, and I thought of that word, and I knew what God was saying to me. God had given me a word through this man 2 days before I needed it, and the word was, let it fall apart. In other words, don't try to fix this. Don't try to handle it. Just let me handle it. And I said, okay, God, you know what? I'm going to let everything fall apart because you said to. And God took care of absolutely everything. That's not his word in every situation, but there's times when we need to just trust God. Just trust him. Trust him with your life. There's people in here with needs that are almost excruciating. They're almost excruciating. It's like you're being pressed on every side. You're being pressured. You're being pressured by man. You're being pressured by family. Some of you are being pressured by jobs. Some of you are being pressured by finances. But there's a couple people in here, you are being pressured to the point of almost wanting to yell. It's the pressure is so extreme. And I want you to know that there's a place. I remember being in a trial so severe, and it seemed to go on a long time. You know, trials always seem like they're a really long time. A day is a long time if the trial is severe. And I remember just saying, God, I know there's trials, but when do I come out on the other side? And he said something to me that he just brought to my remembrance. He said, I never told you there was another side. I told you I would teach you how to walk in victory in it. And he showed me a picture of this. Jesus was on the other end of a room, and there was fire between me and him. And I had to walk through it to get to him. But his arms were out like this, and I knew that if I trusted him, I could get there. That if I trusted him, I could walk through that fire and it would not burn me. That he would take care of me, and that at the end of that trial, he would rearrange things so that somehow it was good for me, because he has promised that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, that used to be my favorite scripture even before I had lived it. But there are some trials that can cause you to take a scripture and walk on them as though they were water, and they become life to you. There are some things that can happen to you, and a scripture becomes life to you. It becomes your salvation. It is the thing that holds you up and sustains you. And that scripture God has given to me in trials, and I know this is supposed to be about getting free, but we go with the Holy Ghost. God can give you a scripture, and if you claim that scripture and steadfastly believe it, you are causing that thing to come to pass in your life. And many times in trials or times of darkness, God has given me that scripture, all things work together for good, to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. And you know, that means to me that even if something really bad happens, God will turn it around for my good. And I have watched Him do it again and again and again. But you have to believe it. Things that are gotten in God are gotten by faith. If you don't believe it, it used to not happen for me because I complained and whined too much that bad things were happening to me. But once I finally figured out that we are the person that makes the choice whether scriptures are enforced in our own life, no one has a higher authority over your life than you do. God Himself is your Lord, but there's no human that has a higher authority to choose what happens to you than you. If Satan tries to come against your body, you have authority to stand. Others can pray for you, and we have authority and we'll agree with you, but I'm telling you, you have some authority in God. You have authority to make choices to stand on the Word or not, to believe what God has said is true. And when people used to talk like this, it was confusing to me. I was like, what is the big deal? I did not know because I had not been through enough fire. But when you go through enough fire, you find out really quick what works and what does not work. And one thing I found out is that in the fire and in the trial, the one thing that works is to believe His promises. Not just to say you believe Him, not just to sort of hope that maybe He'll come through for you, but to make up your mind. Faith is a choice. Choose to believe, I will stand on this, I will believe this, I don't care what anybody says, I'm believing this, and you will watch miracles happen. Now, I'm going to tell you something intensely strong that I would have never had the courage to say. I heard a brother preaching. He's an older man. He has enormous miracles in his life, this guy. I mean, I'm talking creative whopper miracles, this man. And this couple called him for help, and the wife said, my husband's been sick for a year, and we're believing God. We believe the Word of God. And he said, no, you don't. She said, what? Yes, I do. He said, no, you don't. What? It was shocking. And I remember thinking, I can't believe he said that. I would never say that to someone. You know, I would be so afraid of hurting their feelings. Yet he was speaking under the anointing. And you know, when someone speaks by the Holy Ghost, somehow it does not come off as condemnation and judgment. Even though they may say something tough, somehow when it's the Holy Ghost, it still comes through with love. I don't know how that works. But this is what the man was saying. He said, put your husband on the phone. And he talked to him about true faith in God's Word. Got the man healed. And I said, you know, that's radical faith. He actually believes that when he believes the Word of God, that's going to produce miracles. A lot of times what I used to do is say that I believed, but in honesty, in my mind, I did not really believe. And so I wasn't seeing the kind of miracles that others were seeing. But over the course, you know, as you get to know God, as you come into relationship with Him, as you begin to walk with Him over the years, you get to know your daddy, you get to know your father. You get to find out, when you live with somebody a while, you start to find out how they're going to react to certain things. You know what their hot buttons are. You know what makes them happy. You know what makes them upset. And it's the same way walking with God. As you walk with Him for a while, you begin to learn what pleases God, what moves God to action. Now, I'm saying this for a reason. Someone in here, you're being pressed so hard. There's even people in here, there's physical ailments so bad that if you don't get an intervention, you're in trouble. You're in some real trouble. You've got to have God intervene. And I used to think that just because I was God's kid, He should move in my behalf. I just thought He should know, you love me, God. I love you. I'm your servant. I pray more than, you know, most people. I just thought out of those things, He should move. And God wasn't moving. And one day He explained to me, I have a system, Howie. It's high above your ways. It's not how you think it should work. And by the way, I don't care how you think it should work. You know, this is a paraphrase, but that's basically the gist of it. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That's what he was saying to me. And what he was saying to me is, if you can get a hold of my system, if you can get a hold of my ways, my plan, you will find success in every area that you apply that to. See, the problem I was having was I was trying to apply the way I thought it ought to work, which didn't work. And it upset me that it didn't work, and I would whine about it and complain about it. And frankly, I was a little ticked off that God didn't move in my behalf. I saw Him healing other people. I saw Him helping other people. And He wasn't helping me. See, I was using the wrong system. But God said clearly in His Word that without faith it's impossible to please God. And I began to learn something that if you will... you've heard me say it before, but my old pastor used to say, the Word will work if you work it. Took me years to figure it out. Now that I figured it out, I'm looking back saying how many years I wasted of my life until I learned that faith really does move mountains. Faith moves mountains. There's some things in your life that you need to move. And some things you'll ask God to move, and He'll look at you and say, no, you move them. There are some things in your life you're going to ask God to move, and He's going to say, I gave you the authority, and I'm watching, and I'm asking you to move that mountain. Truth. There are some things in your life that nobody else is going to move for you. Hallelujah. But I have given you authority. He said, Luke 10:19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. All. And nothing shall by any means harm you. That's a radical statement. So when the enemy tries to get in my face, I just read him the Bible. You can't do a thing to me. Listen, I saw a man. I saw an anointed man of God. I watched this. There's about 500 people in the room. And this woman was possessed. I used to not believe there was a devil. There is a devil. There is one. And he has a lot of people working for him, a lot of devils working for him. And this woman ran up to the front, and she was literally snarling and clawing, wanted to kill this man, the speaker. Wanted to kill him. And I was way in the back watching this. And she's like swinging at him. She's going after him with these fingernails. She was trying to claw his face off. She stood about this far, and this guy said, he was in the Holy Ghost, and he stood there just like this, and just as quietly as could be, he said, you can't touch me, and you know it. And she stood there spitting and scratching the air and couldn't touch that man. Because by the Holy Ghost, he knew the scriptures. He knew his covenant. If he'd have wimped out, if he'd have chickened out, she could have gone after him. You know, because it wasn't a woman, that's a devil, and a devil can throw grown men across the room. You know, if they don't know God, if they don't know what they're doing, they're in trouble. This man would not budge. He knew his covenant. He didn't yell. He didn't raise his voice. He said, you can't touch me, and you know it. And that thing couldn't do one thing to him. And that is how it is in life. Trials will come against you and try to rip you up, and mostly by intimidation and fear. Most of the trials that come never really come. They come in the form of fear and intimidation. A lot of times the thing you fear never really does happen, but the enemy is trying to get you to back off, to take on fear, to be intimidated. And if you will not, just like he would not, he wouldn't back him down to no devil. Wouldn't matter if there was 500 men standing there, he would have backed down. Because he knew his covenant. The covenant is what protects you. The covenant is what protects you physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, financially, in every way. If you really study what Jesus did on the cross, He died for a lot more than just your sins. He died so that you can walk in peace every day of your life. Did you know that? Yes. He died for your griefs, your sorrows, your physical healing. It's in Isaiah. He died so that you could walk in the fullness of life. And we have been walking in too little because we have let the enemy intimidate us. Sometimes trials come and they're fierce. But here's the thing, God can still turn them around. We have a friend, I just shared this testimony today. Someone called us and they need a miracle. They need a miracle right now. Right now they need a miracle. young woman. She and her husband had to go to the hospital. She's 5 months pregnant. She was had some complications, lost the amniotic fluid, and the doctors were saying, we want to terminate this pregnancy because in the natural, this isn't going to happen. She said, I will not. She is believing God for a miracle for this baby. So they called me, and I was praying with her, and I told the story. Some of you know John Chandy, our praise and worship leader. He was our praise and worship leader for a long time, and they called us when their baby was being delivered at less than 5 months, about. Baby was smaller than my hand, weighed less than 1 pound. The doctors had a long list of all the things that was wrong with that child. This child needed all kinds of miracles, needed new lungs, because when a baby is that young, the lungs aren't even formed yet. They said he won't have proper eyesight. They said all kinds of things. And I watched those parents stand, and they would not give in. They would not. Particularly John, he wouldn't budge. He didn't care what anybody said. He would not budge. He would not be moved. He said, no, this is what my God has promised me. This is the covenant God has promised me. I'm not moving. And we watched. Some of you may have seen Ethan. He's about 4 now, and he's absolutely perfect. He has no lung problems, no hearing problems, no vision problems. He has no problems of any kind. But I'm pretty sure, in fact, I am sure, that if those parents had not stood resolutely and steadfastly, that child would have had problems and may not have lived. Shouldn't really have lived in the natural. What we do impacts our life. What we do and what we choose impacts the way life goes. God has given us. He told us we would rule and reign, and we thought he meant in heaven. I'm going to say that again. He told us that we would rule and reign, and we thought he meant in heaven, but there are some things he's asking us to rule now. He's asking us to take charge in certain areas, particularly spiritually, over what goes on in this earth. We have let the enemy and the enemy's servants take it and run rampant. But we have far more authority than that. We have far more authority over what happens on this planet, and we haven't been using it. And this past year, God has really been dealing with me. I'm surprised he's actually letting me talk about this, because this is something he's been dealing with me strong for months. He has begun to say, if you ran the world, what would you do? What are you talking about? What are you asking me for? You're God, you run it. You know more than I do. You have all the wisdom, I don't. But what he was saying to me is, I have given you the ability to speak certain things, pray certain things, listen to the Holy Ghost and say what he would say, and establish some things here on earth. That's why Jesus said, whosoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt his heart, he will have whatsoever he says. People love to say, well, he didn't really mean that. Yeah, he did mean that. He meant just exactly that. If you have a sickness, speak to it. Don't ask God to move it. Command it to go. I'm telling you, Edgar and I, we are in the ministry, and the devil hates our guts. Yahoo, Mountain Dew. And he has tried a lot of things that you guys never hear of. You never hear of it. There is stuff that he has tried that is almost unbelievable. But we have learned, and Edgar probably learned it years before I learned it, but we have learned that there are some things you can do that he cannot get past because he does not have the authority. But if he can get you to back down, So the older I get, the more fierce I get about the covenant. The more fierce I get in my private life. I'm surprised I'm talking about that. I don't share this stuff. And I'm especially surprised I'm sharing it tonight, because this is not what you would think tonight would be about. But this is life or death. There are times when knowing this will save your life. One time I was at work, and I was battling something physical. And I went into a room and felt myself start to brown out. I was passing out, felt myself starting to go. And something in me rose up and said, this is not part of my covenant. I'm not taking this. And not only did I not pass out, but all the other stuff left that had been battling me. Some things are truly physical that happen to you, that come against your body. And some of them are an attack from the enemy. There are some cases in the Bible where Jesus commanded a spirit to go and the person was healed, because the thing was spiritually induced. There are other times when he commanded a healing and they were healed because it was physical. He did both. Now, I haven't personally studied this, but they say that the number of times it came by casting out devils was far more than the number of times it was physical. Now, this is impressive to me because one time I had some friends praying with me on the phone. I had the flu. And I was asking, standing, believing, and all that. And these friends called. Now, I thought this was a little strange, but I was instantly healed. And I'm talking about I had fever, I had the shakes, I had sweats and chills, I had the flu. I wasn't dreaming it, I had it. And this couple, young married couple, we were kind of prayer partners, and they called, and I told them what I was dealing with. And the young man felt led by the Lord to command a spirit of influenza to go. And I thought that was a little odd, but he commanded it to go in the name of Jesus. And I'm talking that second, I'm talking immediately, every symptom left my body and never came back. That thing was a devil. I can remember a time in my life when I didn't believe there was a devil. Then when I finally became convinced there was a devil, I still didn't get the fact that he had all these little servants running around. As I began to read the Bible, I'll tell you another one. I don't know why we're on this, but we must need to be. I was brand new in the things of the Holy Ghost. I was going to a Bible study, and it was led by a young man who was very full of the Holy Ghost. And there was very few of us. There wasn't probably six people in this room. And a woman there was sharing. She was a middle-aged lady, and she told us that she had had a stomach ache for 6 months. And her stomach had been in pain for 6 months. And I was brand new. I mean, I really was brand new in the Lord. I didn't know very much. But something inside me went, that's not a stomachache. That's not a stomachache. But I was very young in the Lord. And in my flesh, I thought, I'm going to cast that thing out. But I was not in the spirit. I started to say it, but the Holy Ghost overtook this young man. And by the power of the Lord, he rose up. And you know the difference when you see somebody move in the power of the Holy Ghost. This young man stood up and told that thing to come out. And this woman, and it scared me because I was new to the Lord. I was very new. I'd never seen anything like this. But she began to shake, fall over, and she fell down like a dead person. And I thought, this woman is dead. Then I saw the most remarkable thing. I mean, it scared me. It was scary. Because you could feel the warfare in the room. You could feel the intensity of a war going on. She seemed as though she was like a dead person. And then when she came to, she sat up and had the face of a child, just as sweet and as innocent as a child. And she began to speak, and it sounded like the Psalms. Today the Lord has set me free. I will praise his name forever and ever. I mean, it's just under the anointing. She was saying these beautiful things. And I drove home, it was so new to me. And I said, Lord, I don't understand. What was that? What happened? I didn't understand the whole thing. Why she shook so bad? Why did she fall down as a dead person? And I opened the Bible. Have you ever done where you just open the Bible right to what you're asking him about? And he caused me to open the Bible right to the passage where the young boy was delivered of a demon and he fell down as one dead. But he got up free. And I realized God was confirming to me that these things are real and sometimes they just need to go. And this poor lady thought she was contending with a stomachache, probably taking all kinds of antacids and all kinds of over-the-counter stuff to try to resolve a stomachache, when in fact it wasn't a stomachache at all. It was a devil. Now, I'm not saying that everything that comes against you is, because it's not. Some things are physical. Some things are stress. Some things are anxiety. Some things are your emotions. Sometimes oppression and depression is a devil and it needs to go. But not always. But what I'm saying to you is that as you go through life, you are in charge of managing your life. You are in charge of your vessel. Nobody else is going to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You have to do it. And what I have found, you can get help from friends, but there's no friend that is going to be able to help you do everything you need to do to walk in total freedom. The reason that I love the idea of getting more and more free is the more free you get, the more power you walk in. It's not that God has given you more, it's that you're able to release more. The more free you're able to get, the more power you're able to walk in.
Hallelujah.
The more free you are able to get, the more that God can speak through you and power, power is exhibited. It's just true. It's just true. And so what happens is, sometimes as you go through life, you're going to be confronted with things. They may be physical. They may feel emotional. You may get up one day, this hallelujah, happened to me not too long ago. A fierce type of attack came on me. It was what you would call a bad day. I woke up feeling crummy. I felt crummy. My emotions were crummy. Work was crummy. Stuff was crummy. And I said, I'm not taking this. This isn't mine. This does not belong to me. It's not part of my covenant. I'm not doing this. And I began to speak the covenant. I began to speak the truth. And I'm telling you, I had a great day. But you have to grit your teeth and make choices every day of your life. There will be things confront you, and I'm going to tell you something. The enemy will always try to trick you if it is an enemy and it's not just, you know, you. But he'll try to get you to come into agreement with the trial. He'll try to get you to speak it, believe it, get under it, get in fear, get down. That's his point. Because he's trying to sap your days, steal your days away from you. If he can steal your days and weeks and months away from you, he doesn't have to do much to steal your purpose. He doesn't have to go far to get your purpose away from you if he can just steal your days. Get you down, get you under it, calling your friend for help all the time. That's not wrong. It's not wrong to call people for help, but it can be a trap. It can be a trap sometimes. Relying too heavily on someone else to bail you out all the time can be a trap. And there comes a time when you need to sort of, as they say, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, man. This isn't part of my deal. You know, it's funny because I've had the opportunity to minister to people that really in the natural, bless their hearts, I wouldn't have the ability because they've lived through much more difficult things than I ever did. Not talking about people with severe problems in their lives, difficult, heartbreaking stuff, things that should never happen to any human. Abuses that go beyond understanding. And since I never lived through some of those things, I don't want to touch things wrongfully. I don't want to hurt someone by being glib. You know, I don't want to say things harshly or say, well, just, you know, believe God. So I was very quietly ministering to this one person. I was just quietly asking the Lord, help me to help this person without hurting them more. Because the body of Christ sometimes hurts people who are hurting. We don't mean to, but they come for help and we hurt them more with all our knowledge and advice, you know. That's not good. So I was seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, how do I minister to this person? They've lived through hell on earth far more than I ever did. I'm not really qualified. Father, give me something to help them. And as I was praying with this person, God began to take us back in time. And just so gently, as he does, so gently, he took this person back to a time when something happened that allowed the entrance of some things that were damaging. I'm trying to say this gracefully, okay? And he took us right back to the point where something started. A lot of times, problems that you have and behavior patterns that you have go back to a point in time where something happened and maybe you made a decision, okay? And so God took us straight back to that point. Now, I couldn't make the decision, but I said, this is what I believe God is saying. Would you like to make a decision to change? Yes, I would. We prayed together and the whole thing broke. A huge amount of stuff broke because God went back to the point of origin. Sometimes we do things that we don't understand why we do them. Sometimes addictions, behavior patterns, anger. There's people in here, you deal with anger, you just like fly off for no reason, and later you're like, why did I do that? Sometimes there's reasons for that, and God will take you, and He'll not condemn you, He'll never condemn you, but He'll take you back to the point where that thing started and where some decisions were made. Sometimes it's not what happens to you, it's how you handle it that causes you to walk in some things you shouldn't. Sometimes when you're even young, you make a decision. Somebody may hurt you, and you make a decision, and it's the decision you make puts you on a path that is not holy. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Sometimes you make a decision. What was done to you may not have been right, but if you move over into bitterness, or if you move over into putting up a big shield, blocking people out, or not letting relationships in, or some people go into silent mode, they won't talk, they'll never let anybody in, they never share emotions again, or I'll never cry again, things like that. And what happens is that becomes a bondage in your life, and you never even know it, and you go through life thinking, I'm strong, I can handle it, or whatever your issue is. And sometimes God will let that go on for a while, but then one day, for you to become really free, He'll take you back and show you. I feel like He's taking somebody back even right now to the point of origin where some things happened in your life. Somebody in here, your father was not a kind man. He was not kind to you. He said things to you that were so ungodly and so, I almost feel like, humiliating. And sometimes when a dad does that to a child, because your dad is supposed to be the person, your dad and mom are supposed to be the people that lift you up, that help you see all your potential, who God is in you and who you are in God. But some of us, you know, our parents didn't know God. Or even if they didn't know God, maybe they were, you know, legalistic. And what I'm perceiving is that there's people in here, there's someone in here, your father was, you know, really tore you down. And so your whole life you felt like you always had to prove yourself again. You've always felt like, I have to prove myself again. I have to prove myself to this one and that one, and particularly like a leader. I used to have a fear of people in authority because, you know, my dad was a very strong authoritarian. My dad's a great man. But you know, I had a fear of authority that was not godly. I was afraid of pastors. I was afraid of people in the government. I was afraid of policemen. It was a silly thing and ungodly, but it was because I had been raised with this kind of wrong kind of fear of authority. And sometimes what happens, now it doesn't sound like a big thing, but sometimes it causes your relationships to be skewed. And it causes you to have trouble communicating the truth because you're afraid of what they'll do or say. And it can become fear of man. It can become the need for man's approval. Both of those things are very closely linked. You may be saying, why is she talking about that? My life changed when I got free from the fear of man and the need for man's approval. My whole life changed. Because if God gives you a message to deliver, I was recently in a situation where I had to deliver something to someone in extremely high authority. I'm talking way. And I was able, for the first time in my life, I mean, I don't think I could have done it 5 years ago. I know I couldn't have done it 10 years ago. And I was able to smile and deliver a real tough message. In love, but real tough. And basically do it in a manner where I knew in my heart, it doesn't matter to me whether you like this or not. This is your medicine from God, and you're taking it. And I love you, but this is the truth. Love me, hate me, I don't care. But see, I couldn't have done that without being free. I couldn't do this if I wasn't free in those areas. I can remember a time being afraid of how people would respond to me. I know people are so bound by what people think. Everything they do, they have to put on all kinds of masks. They have to have all kinds of things in their house, or their house has to be a certain way, car has to be a certain way, because they're afraid of what people will say and think. You know, their entire life is structured around pleasing man. It's a miserable life. Miserable. Trying to keep everyone around you happy. Trying to keep everyone in peace. You know, that is too big of a burden for any person to carry. Dump that backpack, leave it here, and move on. There's a place of freedom where you can walk through life like Jesus did with one thing. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. I'm going to say what He tells me to say, and let the chips fall where they may. People may love me. People may hate me. They may even kill me, but I'm going to do what God has sent me to do, and if they don't like it, too bad. That's free. That's freedom. And there's a place in God where He can deliver you from caring what man thinks, either from the fear of man or from needing man's approval, to the place where you can walk in love and still deliver whatever message you're supposed to deliver or whatever package you're supposed to deliver from God. God wants you so whole that you are like Jesus. We say, God, make me like Jesus, but a lot of times we rebel at anything that He tries to do to make us really be like Jesus. Because to be like Jesus, we got to change. We cannot be like mere mortals if we're going to be like Jesus. And if you read what He was really like, He was intensely strong. He didn't care what anybody said. He could relate to people and love them and yet not be dependent on them. I see relationships in the body of Christ that are really out of order. I can't believe I'm talking about this. Where there's such a codependency that the line is blurred between who's who. One person is so needy that they latch onto another. The other needs to be controlling, and they manage the other person with control. The other person needs to be managed, and it forms idolatry. That's idolatry on the part of both people. It's an ungodly soul tie, and God will often break that relationship because it is an idol, and He will not have idols. So you have to be, you know, there's a scripture that says, guard your heart, for out of it belong, out of it flow the issues of life. Out of it belong the issues of life. The issues of life come out of your heart and your soul. And when you wrongfully join with another human, you can open doors to things that ought not be open, and then you walk away with bondages and not know why. Some of the bondages we have are because of ungodly soul ties we've made in our lives. Ungodly relationships we formed. Sometimes you open a door just by hanging around with people who are living ungodly. You can witness to them and you can love them, but you just have to walk a real fine line that their stuff doesn't get in your soul. That their issues. I know a brother that gave a testimony. He had to be set free from pornography. He worked at a fire department where they sit around for hours and hours waiting for the bell to ring, and there was nothing to do. So these guys had the pornography everywhere, and he was trying to stand against it, but he was the only believer. And little by little, he became entrenched. And I'm not sharing a secret. He shared this testimony publicly, but he became entrenched in it. Until it gripped his soul. He got to the place where he had a strong man, a stronghold. And then when he tried to break it, he couldn't. See, he did not guard his heart. You know, not condemning him. That's what happened a lot. He didn't guard himself. You know, he pitched his tent in Sodom. Where you pitch your tent is going to make a big difference. Where you pitch your tent will make a big difference. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Ended up in trouble. You have to be really careful what you let your eyes see. You have to be really careful what you let your ears hear. And if you're hanging around with somebody that is ungodly, love them and leave them. Get away from them. Bless them. Hallelujah. Smile. We love you. Bye. Because you have to guard your heart. If you don't guard your heart, nobody else is going to do it. And you can get entrenched in something. I know a dear brother that began to dabble in pornography. He dabbled, he'd look at a magazine, and he said, this was his words. He said, I didn't get struck by lightning, so then I rented a movie. Still didn't get struck by lightning. He was dabbling in it more and more. It became a strong hold in his life. And then it got to the point where he wanted to get free and couldn't get free because it had worked its way into his soul. I'm telling you, you've got to guard your life. Nobody else is going to do this. I'm really, hallelujah, we're just going with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you need to make a clean break from some things in your life. There are some things you need to make a clean break from once and for all. I'm breaking that. I'm walking away from that. I'm done with that. And if it means walking away from someone you love or respect, you can do it gracefully. You know, you can do it with kindness, but you need to do it. If you need to cut a tie, you cut it. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. And it took me a while before I realized he was talking about sometimes relationships. Sometimes a believer dates an unbeliever trying to get him saved. Okay, hallelujah. But then the unbeliever starts winning. You know? If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Cast it from you. It's better to go into heaven with one eye. In other words, that relationship, if it's not of God, it'll drag you under, drag you down. I know someone whose entire family was affected because the sweet little girl, you know, loved the Lord but gave in to somebody, you know, in college, gave in, got pregnant, and of course, as a believer, didn't want to do an abortion, and now there's this hallelujah person in the family that was born out of this situation. And the whole family had to pitch in and raise this child. And again, no condemnation, but we need to walk a certain way before God. You have a purpose to fulfill. You are not an ordinary person. If you're born again, you were not created to do ordinary things. You weren't created to live like everybody else. You were bought with a price. You are purchased. You are owned by God. Hallelujah. You belong to Him, and you are a powerhouse for God. Amen. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit Himself. Think about what temple means. The temple was the house of God Himself. That scripture to us doesn't mean as much as it meant to the Jews. They knew what the temple was. The temple was where the fires of God were. It was where the presence of God was. In the Holy of Holies. The cloud of glory, the lightning, the thunder, that's the temple. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? You are the house of God. God Himself. God so powerful that the Israelites could not go up the mountain because it shook and it scared them because of the lightning, thunder, and the trumpet blast. They couldn't walk up. They said, "You go, Moses. We're not going. You go." They were terrified. That's the God we serve, and you are the temple that He lives in. Think about it. You are not a mere mortal. If you are born again, you were born again to do something in this earth. You were born again to house God Himself so that He could do exploits through you. He has things to do through you in this earth, and nobody else can do them like you can do them. You have things that have your fingerprints on them. The Bible says you are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance that you should walk in them. You're His work of art created in Christ Jesus to do good works that He prepared before you were born that you should walk in them. There's a whole list of works with your name on them. And so the devil's job is to try to pull you away, pull you this way and that way. He'll try everything he can think of. He will tempt you with every kind of thing. He'll persuade you. He'll try to get you to, "Oh, I'm depressed. I'm going into depression and waste 2 years of my life in depression. Okay, I'm out of that now, but oh, I'm sick." You know, he's going to try all kinds of stuff, but the goal isn't to make you sick. The goal isn't to make you depressed. The goal is to steal your life away so you can't go do the stuff you were born to do. That's the real issue. He's scared. He's scared. He's scared that you're going to fulfill your purpose in God. That you're going to wake up one day and go, "This is what I was born to do." You know, like Clark Kent takes off the shirt and there's, you know, Superman. You were born to do some things. And if you ever get a real revelation of what that is, the devil is going to be a nervous wreck. And so he will try any way that he can, and he will look for what your the weak link in your armor is. He'll look for it. If you're fearful, he'll use fear. If you're prone to depression, he'll use that. If you're prone to anxiety, he'll use that. Whatever you'll buy, whatever package he can get you to buy, that's what he'll sell you. And if it works, he doesn't have to go any further. He'll just keep selling you that one. And that's the way he works. That's his job. I believe God is exposing him tonight. That's his job. Because when you get to where you can see it for what it is, you can walk in victory. You can walk in victory a lot faster. And the older you get in God, the faster you should be able to walk in victory. The quicker you're onto him. Ah, I know this. I said this before. Oh, I'm onto you. I know what that is. Did you ever have one of those aha moments where you're going along thinking you're under some kind of oppression and all of a sudden it dawns on you, this is a devil. In the name of Jesus. Benita sang a song earlier, that name of Jesus. That name. You have all authority over the enemy. Every devil that was ever created bows the knee to Jesus Christ. They're created beings. That's all they are. Satan tried to approach the throne of God. Couldn't do it. The Lord is God, and he has placed his seal of approval on you if you're born again, and there's nothing the devil can do about it if you won't let him, because you're in covenant with the Most High. You are in covenant with the Most High. Satan has no covenant. You are in covenant with the Most High God. All authority on heaven and earth, Jesus said, have been given to me. He turned right around and said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Dear brother in the Lord, he's a preacher, and he said he got on a plane and he knows his rights. He knows his covenant. And he's sitting on a plane next to a devil worshiper, a Satanist high priest, and they got in an argument. This is a real story. And this is what the guy said. Now, most of us wouldn't have the nerve to do it. But he knew who he was in Jesus Christ, and he knew his covenant. And this guy starts, you know, threatening him and spitting at him and all that stuff. And this guy turned to him. Now, this is something I'd probably say. This guy's a Southern accent. He said, Satan's a jerk. And he started in on this guy. Scripture, 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 scripture. And he said the people on this plane started backing up, and they're getting farther and farther and farther away as these two are going at it. And this guy is telling him, I'm going to put curses on you. I'm going to do this. And he said, shoot your best shot. There's nothing you can do to me. See, because he knew his covenant. And the guy couldn't do a thing to him. He's ministering still in power. Because he knows who he is and he knows the covenant of God. That's the difference. And that covenant belongs to every one of us. It belongs to every one of us that's born again. That's our covenant. That is our covenant. And we have the right to use it as a sword. We have a right to use it to defeat every enemy. That's our right and our privilege. And I'm done with the thing of being sad because something isn't going my way. I'm done. I got a sword now. And I believe that as people realize who they really are and what they have in their hands, what you really have, it's life and death. It's life and death. We have seen, we saw a man that should have died. We saw him and he lives and he's in perfect health because of that covenant. Because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross and those promises and that word of God. Now, I hear the voice of God pretty good. I hear pretty well, but I'll tell you what. The covenant, the written word. I used to wonder, how come God wrote so much? He can talk to us, you know. But he did it because he wanted to establish in the earth so that everybody knew this is what it is. You measure everything by that. I don't care what voice you hear. You know I love prophecy. I love the prophetic. I don't care what dream you had. I don't care what vision you had. I don't care what voice you heard. That covenant, we measure it by. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Listen, dividing even to the piercing asunder of soul and spirit. What does that mean? So you know the difference between what's of your soul or your emotions or your will and what the Holy Ghost wants to do. The Word of God is what helps you delineate it. That's why the Bible is so powerful. It's important to know what's in there, because if the enemy tries to trick you with a word from the Lord that isn't, the Bible says he can disguise himself as an angel of light. And I see Christians duped all the time. The Lord told me this. He did not. No, he did not. Some of the stuff they say God told them, God did not tell them. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not. But I'm telling you, measure and weigh it. Plead the blood of Jesus. Ask the Lord to reveal you the truth. And stay in the Scriptures. Read the Word of God. Because once in a while, the enemy will put something over. He'll try to put something over on you. And the Scriptures will rise up. And it's like, You get what's called a check in your spirit. Say, something isn't right about this. So voice or no voice, I'm not moving on this until I have a peace in my spirit, according to the Word of God. Hallelujah. How are we doing for time? Boy, I'm long-winded. Hallelujah.